Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
knowledge.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Philip James Unger, going with that fresh new Al Qaeda look that everybody loves.
Thank you.
The show is engineered always by the very creepy and eerily creepy, talented, it's been a while since we've done this show, Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. This is how the show works. You get to send us a question about anything and remain totally anonymous. In the safety of that anonymity, we are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. If you're not up for brutal honesty, don't listen to this show, and certainly don't write to us. But if you'd like to know what we think, we'll be happy to share with you what we think, and we just do it in a way that's just very, very brutal in the context of all these shows that are overwhelmingly concerned about how you feel. We don't care 2 cents about how you feel, all right? That is the premise of the show. If we like what you have to say, we will celebrate you. If not, we will castigate you. 3 versions of castigation. If we think you need to be awakened out of your delusions, we will stick your head in the toilet and flush it. And it's called a swirly. Where is it? Can't find my button today. Hopefully the water swirling around your head will awaken you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on too much with unnecessary detail, you will get the chicken. If you get all 3, you are officially crazy. How are you doing there, Di?
I'm doing well.
Our lovely friend Diane is in the middle of chemotherapy. She looks pretty good for for a chemo chick. I look terrible all the time, and I'm not sick at all. Anyway, we appreciate your prayers for our lovely friend for complete victory over this. But she's doing very, very well. And if she seems unusually clouded in her brain...
If the brain's not working.
It will be difficult to tell, quite frankly, between her normal clouded delusions and her chemo-induced delusions. Yes. But anyway, all right, my dear friend, what do you have for us
today?
Okay,
this actually is from Relevant Magazine. It's 5 bad reasons to get married. The first bad reason to get married is to cure loneliness. A spouse won't cure your loneliness. If anything, marriage can make your loneliness worse because your partner will never fulfill the deep longings in your heart. And you won't have the option to just find a new person to hang out with. The only cure for loneliness is a vibrant relationship with God.
That's true. I often say it a different way. I say marriage wasn't designed to make you happy. Mm-hmm. If anything, marriage will make you unhappy.
Sometimes profoundly unhappy.
Let me explain. Okay, what should happen is our fuzzy little girl here, for those of you who are listening by radio, you know, I still have the tag on this.
Yeah.
You'd think I would be safe to take it off because I think I own it by now.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, I still have the tag on my little Kiwi doll. Now, if the Kiwi doll is very happy and marries the Mark Unger bobblehead, all right, they're very happy and they get married together and they're happy together. Mm-hmm. At some point, one of them is going to do something to tick off the other one. Then you're going to be unhappy.
Yes.
Then you got to work through your details and you'll get back to being happy. And inevitably, someone's going to do something to tick off the other person again, and now you will be unhappy. And then you want to get back to the normal of being happy. That's normal marriage. If you're unhappy in the first place and you think marriage is going to pull you up to happiness, boy, you're delusional. I mean, it doesn't work that way. So you need to be happy in the first place. If you're a lonely, miserable soul, for the love of God, stay single. Yes. All right.
Second bad reason, because marriage is what you do next. You graduate high school, get a car, graduate college, get a job, get a spouse, have 2.3 kids. That's the formula, right?
It's the 0.3 kid that's always odd.
That's difficult to pull off.
I'm not sure how we do that.
Sometimes that's the formula, and it's not necessarily a bad one, but way too many people jump into marriage because that's what they've been told is the next step in the process of life.
I disagree with this one.
I do too.
I think it is the formula. Mm-hmm. Get on with it. Grow up. Get on with your lives, you young people. For the love of heaven, get on with it. This is the normal cycle of life.
They say people often regret getting married because they're missing out on what could have been and they didn't take advantage of their single years.
They're idiots. That's a stupid statement. Mm-hmm. It is just a stupid statement. What exactly are they supposed to take advantage of as a single? Having sex with lots of different people? Is that the advantage? Certainly that's not what these people from Relevant Magazine think.
To give your heart
to a lot of people and have it ripped away and give your heart to someone else and have it ripped away and give your heart to someone else. Is that what they're talking about? I mean, it's just a bunch of baloney. This idea that somehow you're missing out on something. You'll always be missing out on something. You'll always. I mean, how do you know when you're 98, you're not going to meet another 90-year-old? Wow, this would have been the perfect one for me. You know, it's all insane.
They say broaden your horizons, get out and travel, learn who you are, live a pure, full, single life.
Nah, they're wrong. They're wrong. What they're saying is be as selfish as you possibly can be. Be as focused on yourself as you possibly can be. Get as rooted in selfishness as conceivably possible. And then get married.
Good luck with that.
How's that working out for you, folks? Mm-hmm. These people, the longer they wait, the more entrenched they get into their own selfishness, and then they're a nightmare to try and get together with others. Anyway, I think they're wrong
on this one, too. To make it right in the eyes of God, if you're getting married just to make the premarital sex you're already having into marital sex, then you are getting married for the wrong reason, no matter what your mom or your grandma tells you.
First of all, you're not supposed to be having premarital sex. Okay. Okay, so what's their point?
They say that they're familiar with Paul's admonishment in 1 Corinthians that it's better to marry than to burn with lust. Uh-huh. But you have to take that verse a bit deeper. Paul's talking about the importance of self-control, which you talk about.
Yes.
If you don't have it, you're in for trouble, especially within the context of marriage. Marriage won't solve the problem of premarital sex because at the heart of the issue is self-control.
Oh, now that I agree
with. You agree with that part, bringing lack of self-control into a marriage.
Let me put this in plain language for everybody else. Here's the thing. I tell people this all the time. You need to stop and control yourself. If you can't say no to sex before you get married, you can't say no after. And these are the people who keep getting pulled into affairs and stuff because they've never learned to say no to this. So from that standpoint, they're right. But if you are in a relationship with someone and you think you love them and you're falling into sin, you should make it right. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Okay.
50-50 on that one.
Okay. All right. Number four, bad reason to get married, because I'm getting old and the options are becoming fewer and fewer.
Why is that bad?
Do people really think this? Yes, but most would never admit to it. So they figure out ways to make the good enough person into the dream person in their mind. They say, don't get married because
First of all, there is no dream person. The premise that they're talking about is baloney. Yeah. Yes, at some point, you get on with it. You make a decision and you move on. Find someone to do life with. If you're waiting for the reason these people are so old and still single is they're waiting for the dream person. The dream people are not available anymore. I'm already married! Ha ha! Good grief.
This is where it gets really funky because they say, hold out for who God has for you. A friend of mine,
it's not a God thing. That's what irritates me. Marriage is a choice. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a God-ordained deal, especially for you. Well, I got to reword that because people say, you know, it's a gift. Versus, but I mean, there's no place in the Bible where it says God made one special person just for you. It's just an absurd concept. Stop and think about this, people. Let me show you how stupid this is. If God truly ordained one person for another person, like a lot of nutso people say, a lot of nutso Christians say, all you need is one person to get it wrong and the whole system falls apart. If Bob is supposed to marry Mary, but instead marry Susan, then what's Mary supposed to do?
Well, her one and only is gone.
Well, yeah. Now she's dead in the water. Well, now she marries Larry, who was supposed to marry Suzette.
It's all wrong.
Well, now
it's
what's Suzette wrong. Supposed to do? Now Suzette marries Fred, who's supposed to marry Wilma. That's where you get the Flintstones. What are you supposed to do? The whole thing all totally messed up. And if we truly believe that, I mean, seriously, stop and think about this one. Every time someone comes to Christ, the first thing we should do is get them to divorce their spouse.
Because they probably aren't with the one they're supposed to be with.
They are undoubtedly not with the one they're supposed to be with.
Because God didn't tell them.
And then Christianity would be the destroyers of nations and of cultures and traumatizing children everywhere in the world. We would be hated for the destructive nature of our faith, and which is absurd. When someone comes to Christ, we say, are you married? Well, you need to get a divorce right away. No one would even think in this way. But that's what you're saying. When God made one, ordained one person just for you, it is patently false.
Maybe they're just saying he plays matchmaker, so he's always adjusting.
I could even handle that more so, but that's not what they're saying. They say God has one ordained person just for you. I've seen Bible college material. God, when I was in South Africa, Bible college, God has ordained one special person for each person, which is blatantly false. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. And when Paul talks about getting married, he just says, make sure it's a believer. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. It is your choice. But people don't want to be responsible for their choices. They want divine revelation. And anyway, it's just patently false.
I thought it was funny. The last line of that one says, a friend of mine just got married for the first time at 60. Because they waited for the one.
Yeah, and they're celebrating that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in the earlier, number two, they said, they regularly run into people who wish they wouldn't have gotten married so young and never met a person who said, I got married too late.
Well, what about if you get married too late to have kids?
This really? Person has never met
They've
that
never
person.
Met that person, I guess. I don't know.
You know, this is blatantly, other than the first one, everything they say so far is nonsense.
The last bad reason, because he already bought the ring and she already started planning. If you're having serious doubts, don't go through with the marriage. No matter how far along things are, you're not obligated to marry anyone just because they've already bought you a ring.
I'd agree with that.
Yes.
If that's your reason for getting, well, we already bought the ring.
Might as well do it now. Well, that's dumb. Well,
that's stupid. So anyway, people just, they make something that is so simple, overly complicated, and it makes it just a disaster. Western culture is on the verge of breeding itself out of existence, and we still have Christians who are advocating people waiting until they're 60.
60?
Well, that's what
you're jumping
said
up
here.
And down at 30.
Oh, I know, but I mean, this is what they're saying.
I know. I've just wait for the one, even if you're 60 when he comes along.
Good grief. Such nonsense. And the whole time these people are waiting, our young men are getting involved in pornography, in all kinds of sexual sin. Our younger women are involved in sexual sin. The church is being poisoned with sexual sin. All because we're telling people to wait. Look, if you could wait and everybody would actually do this pure, okay, you got an argument, but it doesn't work. That's why Paul said, if you're burning up, get married, get on with your life. Honestly. All right, now I'm irritated. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
On the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. What do you got there?
Okay, first one, it's a husband writing. He says, I've been married to my wife for almost 5 years, and our marriage has not been easy. One thing we struggle with in our relationship is that we fight at times about the silliest things. She is Hispanic, originally from Central South America. I'm white American, lived in the States all my life. We have two different denominational backgrounds. There are times we argue about aspects of religion and other times about silly things like rolling down the car window. How should I, as a husband, try to diffuse an argument? We both have fiery tempers, and sometimes we say things we really should not over things so trivial in the big scheme of things.
Okay, so they're fighting about stupid stuff. And then he goes through his list of why we probably do, because she's from South America, we have different backgrounds and different denominations. Here, you could be from the same town.
And you're going to fight about stupid things.
Went to the same school, did everything exactly the same. She could even be your second cousin twice removed. And you're still going to fight about stupid things. So don't think there's something unusual or look for some great reason why you fight about stupid. It's what we do. How do you keep from doing it? Just stop. It takes two to fight.
How do you diffuse it? Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
There's always that. Have you ever felt that moment?
Yeah. Where it's just I just zip it.
Your spouse says something, and there's that sure moment where you know, I could make a comment at this moment and start a fight, or I can just zip it and shut up and let it pass. And that's up to you, you goofball. You want to argue? Make the smart comment, and off to the races you'll go. Now, there are times when you have to discuss things that are important, but by your own admission, you're talking about stupid things. If you're fighting about stupid things, it's because you haven't learned to shut up. That's the key.
Take the deep breath and go.
Who gets into a debate about the window? The
I
rolling
don't know.
Down
who
of
gets
the window?
Into the debate about communion cups and the temperature in the garage?
That would be my wife.
And she's arguing with whom? Who?
Yeah, at some point you just learn to shut up.
Shut up.
Phil, of course, never has any arguments. What?
You have a white something. Oh, got it.
Did you get it?
A white thing?
Yes.
He was trying to do that really incognito under
He's
the radar.
Going like this.
I don't know.
Do you ever fight about silly things, Phil?
No, not us.
Never.
But we've heard of people.
You've heard
who
of other
do.
People who do. Silliest fight you've ever had about what?
We really don't fight that often.
Okay. He was telling the
I'm
truth.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm
so ashamed.
I mean, like the standards, I guess. Taking out the garbage, you know.
It's piddly
stuff. And then she'll get upset at me that I didn't take out the garbage, so then she'll kind of throw it in, but she won't do it like I like it.
Oh, my.
And so then
terrible.
I won't touch it because she didn't throw it in the... Yeah.
Those are silly arguments.
Yeah, very important. Look, you make a decision. You can choose to fight about it or not. And sometimes I choose to fight.
Sometimes you do.
You know, now I'm not saying that that's the wisest approach, but sometimes you've had it up to here and you just give it right back. But then you can't be shocked when the sparks fly. The good news is they're just sparks and it's not the end of the world. And even normal, healthy people argue about stupid things. I think you're just fine. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
You say you fear.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships with Diane Barley and Phil Gunger. What do you got next?
Okay, woman wants to know, my husband tells a lot, in capital letters, of women that he loves them. And I get very upset about this, she says. Even women that he doesn't know really well. I've asked him to stop telling women this because some women take it the wrong way. He gets mad at me and tells me I'm overreacting and being stupid. I feel, talking about arguing over stupid things, I feel that you should only tell family members that you love them. I guess I'm old-fashioned in that way. There have been fights about this subject many times and about the same girl. He hasn't seen this woman since they were kids, and now it's okay to tell her that he loves her? Am I wrong, she wants to know.
You know, a lot of people send us questions about what's right or wrong in certain situations. The truth of the matter is, you just lay down your own rules. You don't like it. That should be the end of it. He keeps doing it because clearly she's never really laid down the law. They just argue about it. If my wife told me in no uncertain terms, don't you dare tell another woman you love her, and I keep doing it, there's going to be hell to pay in my house. At some point, it ain't worth it anymore.
Would you ever tell her that she was overreacting and being stupid?
I might.
Where would you be sleeping that night?
I may have. No, I mean, we'll have those conversations. You're overreacting and, you know, what it is. And the thing is, she doesn't care. That's the thing.
That's the point.
I think you're overreacting. Well, whether I am or not, it doesn't matter. See, she's debating stuff with him that she shouldn't debate with him. It should be the other, you know, if it's really outrageous and someone thinks you're being really unfair, you got to take it to a third party and debate it out. But in this one, I think he loses. You know, this is where you go to any friends and say, look, he keeps telling girls he loves them. What do you guys think? Well, every guy in the world is going to tell him to stop it. Every couple, every pastor, every counselor, everybody's going to tell him to stop it. And she's still having this argument with him. She's just a weak woman who hasn't learned to lay down the law. It doesn't matter. And here's the thing. Even if every couple you know says it's okay, because that's what she's wanting. You know, yeah. Is it okay? Okay. That it's okay. And if I say it's okay, okay. And if you say it's okay, okay. But it still bother her. Yeah. It shouldn't matter. If I say it's okay, Diane says it's okay, Phil says it's okay, everybody in your life you know says it's perfectly fine for him to do that. If you don't like him doing it, that's all you got to know. Stop it. Don't do it. And you lay down the law, I think. And things get tough around the house. Cook your own dinner. Don't touch me. When you can learn just to say you love me and nobody else, give me a call. Yeah. I'm serious. I think you get very serious about these things. You just lay down the law. Any guy knows. Here's the thing. Your husband might whine and complain about, but any guy knows there are certain things that his wife will not tolerate. And it varies from wife to wife.
And
not that we have more than one wives.
No.
I'm just saying. But I mean, what my wife will tolerate, you know what I'm saying? It might, she has wanted me to say such and such or do such and such. And someone else's wife may not care. It doesn't matter. I'm not married to that other person. I'm married to this one. This one says no. No, Mas. You cannot do it. And it's over with. I think she just needs to lay down the law.
Well, and some guys have learned that their wives will tolerate, or they can, for lack of a better word, bully them.
Yeah.
I hate that word because it's so inflammatory in our culture these days. But they can...
Like the bully puppet?
Yeah, but they do.
Bully, bully!
He'll argue and tell her that she's stupid and overreacting, and then she'll back down, and he knows he can get away with anything.
Yeah, no,
Some guys have figured that game out.
Look, your wife might hug some guy. Maybe it's just one person. Maybe you see your wife hug one guy that you think he's enjoying it way too much. Okay? That's all you got to know. Yeah. And you just tell her, I don't want you hugging that guy. She goes, well, I don't think there's anything wrong. You know, it doesn't matter.
Because it can go both ways.
I'm saying it would be non-negotiable. I don't care. Well, there's nothing wrong. You know, I don't care. Don't do it. And if she keeps doing it, there's going to be hell to pay in the house. There's not going to be any peace. So I think at some point you fight for what you believe in. Everybody sets their own rules about things that the Bible's not even very clear about. You set your own rules. I think what you're asking is highly logical. He shouldn't be going around telling other women in the world that he's in love with them. I think it's absurd. Or how love, or however you phrase it.
I don't think he said in love.
Whatever. Love. It's insulting to her.
Yeah, she doesn't like it.
And dude, what are you, a moron? I don't know if you even listen to this show. If your wife is being insulted by you constantly saying the same, why would you do that? If you know your wife gets mad every time you do that, why do you keep doing that? I think she lays down the law and says, no, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. Until he yields. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
In the dead of night was the day I started living.
We are back on the Mark Unger Show. Mark Unger, Diane Briley, and Phil Unger talking about love, life, and marriage. Just got an email from a woman who says she's upset because her husband keeps saying he loves these women, and she's insulted by that, and he fights with her about it. And I think she should stand up and say no. And in the break, Diane said, well, what about the whole submission thing? You know, this isn't a submission thing. It's, first of all, if you love someone, why would you keep doing something that irritates them? That's on him.
Mm-hmm.
So she should submit. Horse manure. You're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. He's supposed to be laying down his life for her.
No, I'm not saying that she should submit to that. I'm saying that does it fall under the... You submit mutually to each other. If he knows this is upsetting and hurting her, shouldn't he, because he stood and took wedding vows that said he would honor her and all of that, shouldn't that be part of that?
I think
that's
so.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying she should submit to him.
No, okay, is this common sense? If you love somebody and they say, you know, I hate it when you flatulate in public, all right? I think that's highly insulting. Some people might have no problem with it. They might applaud, depending on your degree of flatulation. But some people would find that highly insulting. Say, would you please stop flatulating in public? Now, if you love that person, you would learn to control yourself and stop being... nothing wrong with that. Just God made us this way. Sometimes you just gotta let it rip. All right? I mean, only a selfish, self-centered pig of a person continues to do something that just blatantly irritates someone. Now, if you know your wife, your husband, whatever, has asked you something that's very reasonable, please do not hug women in a certain way, or don't tell women you love them, or don't be going to lunch with guys at work. I think it's inappropriate. Well, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you should never take that stand. If you love someone and they say, look, this really bothers me, then you should stop. Now, if it's something real, look, I don't like it when you eat food. Okay. Well, you got to eat. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like your table manners.
I don't like your table manners. Okay. Well, even then you'd try and work on it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What is this? My spouse says, what you're doing is really upsetting me. And your response to that is...
Oh, that's fairly common, I think.
But because people are selfish. What version of love is this? If you love someone, you don't keep doing it.
Right.
And then they get into these debates and they email idiots like me.
They want to know who's right or wrong.
Who's right? Who's wrong? It's like, it's not even a question of right or wrong. If you have one person who says, don't do that, you should stop doing that. Well, she's infringing on my rights. Yeah, welcome to marriage. If you didn't want anybody to infringe on anything you wanted to do, you should have stayed single. So I just think it's outrageous. And the fact that these couples argue and debate this and go on over and over and again, really, you just lay down the law, and if you don't tolerate it, number one, and the other person, if you have any kind of love or consideration for that person, you should stop doing it. There's all kinds of things that people do that one couple, they could never do. Mm-hmm. And another couple, they have no problem doing it.
Well, I know people, like I see certain things that a husband or, you know, especially because I'm a wife, the husband will do, and it's like, oh, good grief, that would never fly in my house, but they're perfectly fine and happy with it.
Yeah.
We sing to each other when we get upset.
You do? And does it, like, make the fighting easier to deal with when you're singing the fight?
We've started singing the Disney hit Let It Go.
Oh, Let It Go.
Let It Go, as we stare into each other's eyes, and it
helps.
We let the music soothe and heal our souls.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to remember that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll see if that works.
I'll load that song onto my iPhone. Just hit play.
Someone hits it and we just turn and look at each other. There's some dancing involved, but it's not always necessary.
I know when my wife gets mad at me, I look at her and go... And it really breaks the
mood. Does that end the fight?
Yeah, it, not really. Kind of kind of eggs it on, doesn't it? If you love someone, you stop. There's stuff that I do, my wife and I do around each other that other couples think are horrible.
Yeah.
And they would never do it. But it doesn't bother us. We're perfectly fine with it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do that a lot of people are mortified by is we frequently point out really good-looking people. We both do it.
Yeah. And other people would freak out by that.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got emails from people who
If I see a really good-looking woman, I'll go to her. I say, holy cow, look at that. She'll go, man, look at that guy. Or I'll do vice versa. I'll point out the guy.
Now I know why you don't want your wife to watch soccer. This is why you don't watch soccer.
Because
this is why
your dad
hates
guys soccer.
He doesn't want his wife looking at all of the men.
We're watching the soccer thing.
Yeah.
Which to me is like, you know, morphine. It's like... I watched the final big World Cup thing. Okay, remember back then, when they play, and they had the one highlight of the game because there was only one highlight where the German guy, you know, bounced it off. It was a cool thing.
It was a great shot.
You know, when you have the big world event and you got one highlight, to me, that means the sport really kind of sucks. Okay, but don't write me; I don't care about it. But anyway, so we're watching this thing.
Yeah,
just doesn't understand.
It's so boring. It's so well. Look, I think it's an important game because there's millions of people in the world who cannot sleep, and this helps them sleep. It's like a cure for insomnia. So I think soccer has its place. All right. It helps people fall asleep.
It's a sleep aid.
It's a sleep aid. Okay. So, again, don't write me. I don't
care. He doesn't care.
I don't care. Unless if you love soccer, peace. All right. But anyway, we're watching this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, holy cow, look at that guy. I mean, we do that, right? I'm pointing out the guys.
Soccer guys.
We'll do it either way.
Okay.
She'll point out, well, look at that babe. You know, well, look at that guy. We'll do it either. And I know all kinds of people, for whatever reason, they would never do that around each other. And if I was married to someone like that, and that really, I would never do it. Just wouldn't do it. So just because people say, well, Mark Gunger thinks it's okay. It doesn't matter what I think.
No.
You know, if you doing something is really insulting to your spouse, you should stop it. That's what love does. Anyway, people are nuts. All right, what else you got?
Okay, the next email says... is it selfish for a married Christian couple to not want kids, from a biblical standpoint, selfish for them to not want kids?
Okay, my answer is, you want to know what I think? My answer is yes. I think you're being very selfish, and you're being extremely short-sighted. These are people, they just don't want to be inconvenienced. All of life is about them. And here's the absurdity of it. You look at any human beings that have had children. They love those children more than life. I don't know anybody who loves their car more than life. I don't know anybody who loves their house more than life. I don't know anybody who will lay down their life for their big screen TV or their special vacations or all the special things that you guys think you love to do. Nobody cares about all the stupid things that you're making the most important thing in your life because they don't want to be bothered with children. But once people have children, those very same people would do anything for those children. They love those children more than life itself, and their greatest joy in their old age is being surrounded by their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren. You, in your selfishness and your short-sightedness, are going to rob yourself of all of that, because when you're in your later years, there's going to be nobody around you but you, and I think it's very sad. Having said all that, do what you want. But you think you don't know if I think it's selfish? I think it's extremely selfish and very short-sighted. I personally don't care what you do. I just think you're robbing yourself of the greatest joys of life, all because you're being extremely selfish. We'll take a break and be back with more of your emails right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Listen to the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You listen to The Mark Gunger Show and are watching The Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger along with Diane Brierley and Phil Gunger answering your emails. What do you got there?
Okay, ready? She wants to know, I was wondering, what are your views on sexting? Mm-hmm. Sexting in the context of marriage as a form of foreplay and yet not using it to masturbate. I said, are you and your husband committed Christians, active in a local church? She said, yeah, in fact, my husband is a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to know about sexting.
I think it's great. What's wrong with that? It's foreplay. They're flirting with each other. What's the difference between that and they're whispering in each other's ear?
Oh, I'm thinking in terms of sexting, of taking naked pictures and sending them back and forth. Not just sending some sweet nothings.
My guess is they're sending sweet nothings. It's highly unlikely. Here's a picture of my woohoo.
That's the definition of sexting.
Pictures of woohoos. See, that's my version.
Again, if they're married, the answer's still the same. Why not? Well, I mean, only because someone else could.
Only because you don't want those pictures out there, Mr. Pastor?
Accidentally sent that to a group message.
Yeah, and your mistakes on your phone and who you send things to.
Here's the danger. You know, it's one of the worst things about the iPhone.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised, shocked, really, they haven't fixed this yet, is I can have Phil up on my message thing, and I start to text him.
Was that my full name? Phil up?
Phil up, yeah. So anyway, and then if you text me,
and
it switches over to you.
Yeah.
It's a really stupid thing with the iPhone.
So in other words, if you were going to send a picture of your woohoo to your wife,
yes,
and I texted you in the meantime,
you'd get the
woohoo.
That
could go to me.
Yeah.
Right, which, there is why you shouldn't do it.
Which could be rather traumatizing. First of all, I don't take pictures of my woohoo.
Oh.
I don't know what the deal is. In all my life, I've never seen a man's willing thought, now, there's something really attractive.
Okay, so are you recanting your answer?
No, I'm saying if between
there's nothing wrong with it.
Between a husband and a wife, I think it's fine. Between a husband and a wife, well, they're flirting with each other. Do whatever. Just be smart about it. You know, it's like you could be home flirting with each other. Just make sure the curtains are closed.
True.
Or say, well, we can't do that because someone in the neighborhood might look. Well, yeah, we'll close the curtains. So take precautions, you know? Or all of a sudden, the children might walk into the middle of the living room. All right, how about you don't have sex in the living room and have sex in your bedroom with the door locked? Yeah. I mean, so there's, you know, you don't stop having sex because something could happen. You just be smart about it. So I don't think, between married people, if they mean sexting, actually taking pictures of their body parts.
See, that's what I assume sexting is.
But even still, if they're between married people in their marriage, yeah, knock yourselves out. Just
be really,
for the love of God,
really, really careful.
Be careful.
Delete it all as soon as you're done.
Just be careful who you're sending it to.
I could just, oh my gosh, that would just be horrific.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what happens. Whoops, didn't mean to send that to that person.
Oh, yeah, I've done that more than on one occasion. I mean, not taking pictures of anything, but just making
just the
comments
wrong message
about something.
Yeah.
Like, also, oh my goodness. And
oh my goodness.
And they write back, they send back a question mark like, what? Well, I've had people done that to me.
Like,
I'll
what?
Text them and I'll say,
I don't think you meant to send that to me.
Yeah, it's all. Anyway.
Yeesh. It is what it is.
Okay.
All right. What's next?
The next one. This is a woman writing. I hear you discuss men who awaken in the middle of the night with an erection and then ask their wives, hey, are you awake?
Hey, you awake?
That's right.
Yep.
Is the wife supposed to awaken fully and accommodate her husband? On the other side, when a wife awakens in the middle of the night and wants attention, is her husband supposed to awaken fully and accommodate her? Just asking.
As in, like, get up, make a cup of coffee.
Right?
Awaken fully.
I don't think there's any hard set rule on this. I would suggest that you both wait until you're both awake. That was my suggestion. In fact, my comment in my DVD is to that end.
Don't do that. Just,
they're dead asleep. Why are you invading?
Hey, come on, wake up,
you know. So now, not saying that you can't spontaneously go nuts with each other in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. God bless you. Have a great time. That's just my advice is why don't you wait till you're both actually conscious, I think would actually end in a better experience.
And if your wife is one of those people who really needs her sleep and does not like to be interrupted when she's sleeping.
Oh, yeah, now she's going to be grumpy and all get out for the rest of the day. Why do you want to live with that?
I would not suggest that. No.
All right. That's a simple one. All right.
Okay. I'm not sure if you're ready for this one. I'm not sure that I'm ready for it. But okay. She says, I really like to know what to do when my husband confesses that he masturbated. May I add that he does this not very often and it's rare when he does.
Okay.
But he confessed to her that he was masturbating and thinking about her 19-year-old sister.
Oh, my God.
He says it only happened one time. And then they had a big argument about that. She said he's been very honest with her about the struggles that he has in this area and anything that's bothering him. And she's been very understanding up till this point. I wonder why. Even though he did not commit the act, she says she still feels as if it happened. He's apologized. They might go to counseling, but I don't think that counseling will take the sick feeling away that I have. She says, please help me.
Well, it's pretty sick. What are you doing thinking about your wife's sister, young sister?
19-year-old sister.
And masturbating. And even if you do that, which if you do it, it's pretty sick anyway. Sort of from a Christian worldview. Even from any worldview, it's pretty disgusting. But if you do it, why would you even share that with your wife?
Well, because he was used to being open and honest with his struggles with her.
I know, but
this is this radical honesty.
I just think it's a dumb idea. Look, people feel and think all kinds of terrible things. If I think a real terrible thing, I know it's hard to imagine that I, the great man of God, of pure holiness and righteousness at all times, might conceivably have an impure thought. But it has been known to happen. Who knows why? All of a sudden, one minute you're worshiping Jesus, the next minute you're thinking, ooh, look at the butt on her. It's like, oh my gosh.
Stop, you know, stop.
Every man knows what I'm talking about. I do not, if that's the case and it's inappropriate, I ask God to forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me for that and help me to keep a pure thought life. That's what I do. I don't turn to my wife and say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I was just noticing the really fabulous butt on that lady over there. Why would you traumatize your wife with something like that? So I think any man, and there's people who actually teach that you should do this.
Yeah.
I think they're morons. You do not go and emotionally vomit all over your wife your personal struggles with sins. So I think he's an idiot. First of all, I do think it's rather disgusting that he did this.
Okay, it's disgusting. He's an idiot. But now what is that noise?
I don't know. You hear that?
It's a buzz. That's a...
No, I don't know. Feels like something in the room is going to explode.
Yeah, like,
I don't think
like
I can hear this.
Sounds like a gas leak?
Yeah.
Sounds like a gas leak.
Hopefully
Boom.
It's not a gas leak. If we all explode in a fiery ball, thank you for watching the show and for your support. This will be the last show you'll ever see. It'll probably make great YouTube, though.
We have great YouTube video.
Yeah, we'll probably get millions of hits.
We get a lot of hits.
As these people explode to death. What was that?
I don't know. That was weird.
It just stopped.
Tim, before you go out, hit upload.
What was that? That was nuts.
That was really weird.
So anyway, what was I talking about?
It's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
No, but now what's she supposed to do about it that he's told her that and it's stuck in her head?
Well, now, they might have to go get counseling and, you know, he's opened up a can of worms.
What about every time they're with the sister-in-law now or with the sister?
Don't you think?
Yeesh.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I just... this idea of brutal open honesty that this, somehow this is... You know, there's a big... I've mentioned this before, but there was a big movement in a Christian churches back in the 80s where you're supposed to confess your sins to everybody. And people would come up to people and, you know, to a woman and say, you know, I want to apologize because I've been looking at your breasts and I really think they're fabulous. And would you please forgive me for that? Well, oh my gosh.
That would be so creepy. I would never want to see you again.
That's what I'm saying. Well, now every time you see the guy, you just want to, oh my gosh, you know, you want to come in a burka, you know, and I mean, you're all creeped out.
Well, and then if someone says, I am sorry, I have to apologize. I've been masturbating to thoughts of you.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, what's to stay away?
I know. What I'm saying is this, thankfully, that didn't last very long. People got a clue of how stupid that was. But there's this, always there's these, this root of people thinking the best thing is to always be brutally honest and that is helpful. It is not. If you see someone who's really ugly, you don't walk up to them and say, man, are you ugly? Well, there's people who actually advocate that, believe it or not.
They think that's honest.
Better because you should be honest because it sounds so holy. It's just stupid. There are some really stupid people who use pseudo-spirituality to advance their stupidity. If you're struggling with lustful thoughts, you don't insult your wife and tell her about it. Now, if it's getting out of control, you go to a friend, you go to a pastor, you go to some other guy, and you work it through that way. But you don't sit there and tell your wife every time you think of some lustful thought about another woman. It's just insane. Now, I will say this, that there are men who do confess masturbating to their wives. But in a way, what it is, it's really a cry for him to say to her, I need more sex from you.
But you still don't need to tell who you
are
thinking of.
I know. You don't need to get into the details and stuff. But I mean, I'm just saying that's their motivation.
Yeah.
The reason they'll finally tell the wife is, look, I'm struggling with this.
Yes.
You know, and it was, you know, us having sex, you know, once a month isn't cutting it for me. And I'm struggling with this thing. So,
and in that context, you're good.
That's fine. But you don't need to get in graphic details. Gee, I was doing it about your 19-year-old sister. That's very disgusting. So anyway, do you need counseling at this point? Probably. Anyway, lots of luck with that. We'll take our final break and be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark with Diane and Phil. Final segment. What do you got there next?
Girl writing. I'm a 25-year-old single lady who got into the bad habits of masturbation and pornography. Mm-hmm. I've been working for the last year and a half.
Which a lot of women struggle with. Yes. It's mostly men. But it's not like there's no women who do this. It's also a big
problem.
It is
becoming increasingly a female problem from what I've read. So she's been working the last year and a half to get over that. She needs some advice how to stop stumbling back into it. I don't know how to kick this. Any advice you have for her?
Yeah, let me help you and any guy or anybody who struggles with this. Here's what happens. Here's the struggle. When they feel they have to do it, they think the feelings mean they have to do it. Okay, that's
you have
it.
To do what you feel.
You feel, you're convinced in your head that you have to do what you feel. I have the feelings for it that I have to do it. These people who do this say, I can't stop. I have to do it. I have to. And they pray about it. And they pray, oh, God, help me with this. And they literally pray, God, take away the feelings. But you'll notice God doesn't answer that prayer. It's not about, what you have to learn is to separate your actions from your feelings. As Christians, we learn that we don't have to do what we feel. Okay, now we can choose to do what we feel. We all feel it. I get it. Everybody feels bad stuff from time to time. I wish the only time that'll happen when it stops is when we're dead, and then we won't deal with these things anymore. But you have to learn that my feelings do not define me. God's word defines me. I live by what God says and not by how I feel. When you can separate that, when you can totally break in your mind, there's a difference between what you do and what you feel, you'll be free. The problem why you people who are listening to me are still struggling with this is because when you feel it, you are convinced in your mind that you must do it, and nothing could be further from the truth. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. I mean, it's not, when we talk about this, they say, well, I'm addicted to it. It's not like heroin. Heroin is actually a physical addiction. Mm-hmm. You will go, your body will put you in knots. You'll vomit. It's a trip to hell because you're physically, you have to do it or your body. When they talk about these other addictions, everybody thinks it's like that. It's not like that. You don't have to do anything, no matter what you think about it. You certainly may want to do it. This is true of any version of immorality or any sin. People think, well, you know, I was with a girl and I did this, or with a guy and we did that, and I didn't want to. Everybody says, well, I didn't want to, but I did, you know, because they are convinced, they bought into this lie that if you feel it, no, and sometimes you feel it very intensely, because I feel it, therefore I must act on it. What you don't understand, that's not true. Once you understand that you don't have to do what you feel, it will set you free. You'll be free at last. Thank God, free at last. All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.